Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me again to the book of Matthew in chapter 24. The book of Matthew in chapter 24. As we've been going through this chapter, we've seen the stage has been set that Jesus and his disciples were leaving the temple and the city of Jerusalem after Jesus had pronounced that it would be left unto them desolate, and that they would not see him again until they said, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And the apostles pointing out to Jesus the beauty and the magnificence of the temple, like as to say, "Lord, you're sure this is going to be laid desolate." They're pointing that out to him, and he says to them, "You behold the beauty and the magnificence of this place, this temple. But I say unto you, there will not be one stone left upon another." And as they were going up into the Mount of Olives, they asked Jesus about that. When would this take place? And what would be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? And he said, Be on guard, because there will be many that will come and say, "I am Christ," and they will deceive many. See to it that you're not deceived. He said, "You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars and kingdom rising up against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilence and earthquakes." But he said, "This is only the beginning. This is only the beginning of those pains that you'll feel." He said, "They'll take you up. They'll take you up before magistrates to be afflicted, to be killed, even." And we know that all the apostles were killed by 70 A.D., with the exception of John, who lived at least till 100 A.D. and penned the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. But he said, went on to tell them that there would be many that would be offended at them, offended at their doctrine, offended at their teaching, offended at their preaching. Do a comparison with the book of Mark and Luke, we found that he said, your own family, those within your own family would rise up against you. Those in your own family would deliver you up to be afflicted and killed. He said, went on to say, there would be many false prophets that would come and deceive many. He said, because iniquity, because lawlessness would abound, the love of many would grow cool. The love of many towards the things of God and toward his people would grow cool. But he that is saved, he that is truly saved shall endure to the end. And he said the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached again. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached again, but this time it's not going to be to the Jew only, but it's going to be taken into all the earth. be preached to the Gentiles as well. Behold, the King is coming. You need to repent. You need to repent because the King is coming. Then we got to verse 15 and he said, but when you see the abomination of desolation is spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the temple where he ought not to be, then take your flight. Flee to the mountains. Flee to the mountains. Why? Because it's going to be great tribulation that is going to come. He said, pray not that your women be with child and giving suck. Because that's a time of affliction, a time of trial. Yes, it's a time of joy, but it's a time of affliction. And that is just going to impede your progress in fleeing the wrath that is to come. He said, pray not that your flight be not in the wintertime or on the Sabbath. Travel would be difficult in the wintertime. If it's on the Sabbath, well, if it's on the Sabbath of years, there'd be no crops in the field. If it's on the Sabbath of day, you're limited to how far you can travel. 0.6 miles. That's not very far. And you're wanting to flee the trouble that is coming? A time of great trouble. And so then we came to verse 21, where we're at now. He said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. This period of tribulation is a time of trouble such as the world has never seen before. That convinces me right there that we're not living in it now. Oh, yes. The things that we see going on now are troublesome times. They cause for, in some cases, alarm. But not if we're trusting Jesus. But this is period of time is going to be such as the world has never seen before. What a time. When you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place where he ought not to be, and you take your flight, for at that time there shall be great affliction. This will be a time of great trouble. A time that the world has never endured before. And yes, we mentioned last week that yes, the trouble that Jerusalem saw in 70 AD was a troublesome time for the Jew. But that pales in comparison to what we have seen and read and concerning this period of time. This period of time was prophesied by the prophets, at least by Moses and Jeremiah and Daniel. We referenced those last week. The Apostle John wrote in the book of Revelation. He wrote of the time, days of intense affliction. After the destruction of Jerusalem, he wrote that. He wrote that in 100 A.D., so it can't be referring to the destruction of Jerusalem as being that horrible time. Because what he wrote there concerning them taking flight in the book of Revelation chapter 12 corresponds with what we have here in the book of Matthew in chapter 24. But John goes on to write some things in the book of the Revelation to us, that some things which the Lord Jesus Christ allowed him to see and therefore be able to pen. And he wrote concerning, during this period of time, he wrote concerning the seven trumpets of judgment which were to come during that time, where one third of all the green vegetation on the earth would be destroyed, wherein one third of the ocean would become blood, and one third of the life in it be destroyed. One third of the world ship would be destroyed. No more. What a time that would be. He went on to write of a great star falling into the water, whether it was a comet or a meteor or what it was. It polluted. It polluted a third of the earth's water, fresh water, so that many, many men died from it. He went on to say that the sun would be darkened by a third, and the heavenly bodies would be darkened by a third, so that that during the daytime when there should be light, it would be a third dark. During the night when the stars and moon should be shining, it'll be a third dark. In other words, total darkness during those periods of time. He said, the last verse of the eighth chapter there, he said, yes, these four trumpet judgments are terrible, but there's three more to come. There's three more to come. And he went on to tell us about them in the ninth chapter. An army of demons would be loosed. Locusts with tails like scorpions. And their purpose was not to kill, but to afflict man, and not the elect of God, not the ones who had the name of God written in their foreheads, the mark of God in their foreheads, but the rest of mankind. They were to afflict for a period of 5 months. And they would be in such affliction, such pain, that they would want to not die and not be able to die. Then the sixth trumpet was that an army of 200 million strong would kill a third of the human population, so that by the time this sixth trumpet is over with, over a half of the world's population will have been killed. Upwards of two-thirds of the world's population will have been killed during this period of time. And on these, they still repented not. They still repented not. The seventh trumpet judgment, which we closed out with last week, was the trumpet. It was a trumpet announcing. It was announcing the King. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's soon to come. His coming is very soon. But John also went on to write, and we didn't have time last week, but he also went on to write about seven vials of judgment being poured out upon the earth. And we can find this in the book of Revelation chapter 16 and verses 1 through 21. Let's read those 21 verses this morning as we look at this. He said, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." The wrath of God. Vials of wrath being poured out. "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and in their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three uncertain spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. These vials that are being poured out almost sound worse than the seven trumpet judgments, the seven vials that are poured out. In verse 2, we had a troublesome and harassing sore. I don't know what kind of sore it was. It doesn't tell us what kind of sore. Some kind of cancerous sore. That would be plausible today, would it not? Some kind of cancerous sore that festered in the flesh and ate the flesh. But only on those who have the mark of the beast. Not those who were set apart of the Lord, not those that were elected of the Lord, not those that were chosen of the Lord, but only those who had the mark of the beast and worshipped him. Verse 3, the second vial, we find the ocean waters are turned to blood, and every creature in them, every creature in them dies. Verses 4 to 7, we find that the fresh water is also turned to blood. Fresh water is turned to blood. And what did the reading say? It said, they're worthy to drink, because they have drank the blood of saints, they're worthy to drink this blood, this bloody water. You see. Verses 8 and 9. We have the fourth vial. The sun grows hot. How hot does it get? Well, it gets hot enough that men's bodies are burnt. Scorched, burnt. Verse 9 tells us, and they repented not. Just think about it. All these judgments falling, all these catastrophes falling, all these people dying, all these people being afflicted, and they repent not. They blaspheme God. Verse 10 tells us of the fifth seal, vial being poured out. This is poured out on the seed of the beast. And his kingdom is full of darkness. How dark is it? Well, men are in pain because of the darkness. How much pain are they in? Well, they're in so much pain that they chew their tongues off. Can you imagine that? Chewing your tongue off? Verse 11 tells us, yet they refuse to repent. They repented not. In verses 12 to 14, we have the sixth vial. This vial is poured out upon the river Euphrates, a river that, boy, I don't know if the river Euphrates has ever dried up, but when this vial is poured, probably not, because this is a time such as the earth has never seen before. And this vial is poured out upon the river Euphrates, and what happens? It dries up. What is significant of that? The significance of that is this great army from the east is going to have free entrance to the land to encompass Jerusalem, to encompass the land of Israel. What? What for? The battle of God Almighty. We know it today as the battle of Armageddon. Shaping up. These vials bring to shape the battle of Armageddon. The battle of the great God. The seventh vial in verses 17 to 21 is a great cataclysmic event that takes place. Calls it an earthquake. An earthquake? How great is this earthquake? Well, it's so great that the islands of the sea are gone. The mountains are gone. And what else about this earthquake that is phenomenal about this worldwide earthquake that takes place? The other phenomenal thing about it is that the heavens. It disrupts the heavens in their courses. And what else happens? Great hailstones fall from heaven. What is the significance of those great hailstones? Well, our verse says a talent. Does that mean anything to you? Well, not unless you look it up. Two references. A talent of silver is said to weigh about 100 pounds. A talent of gold is said to weigh about 200 pounds. Well, let's take the smaller of the two, the 100-pound measure. You ever seen hail fall from the sky weighing 100 pounds?
hail the size of a golf ball or hail the size of a softball. But then these are hailstones that weigh 100 pounds and more falling from the sky. And what does that passage of Scripture go on to say about them? And men blaspheme God. They would not repent. They would not repent,
but they blasphemed God Almighty. Well, you see, John wrote of the seven trumpet judgments and the seven vials of God's wrath concerning what in Matthew Jesus called in verse 21 a time of great tribulation. You see how great a tribulation has come? Looking now at verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Keep your thoughts on that verse. Turn with me to the book of Mark in chapter 13. And look with me here at verse 20. Mark chapter 13 and verse 20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. I like Mark's rendition. Mark gives just a little bit more information. Lets us know, not changing the meaning, but just fills in a little bit more than Matthew. Obviously, if they are the elect's sake, and the days are shortened for the elect's sake, they are who he is talking about, are the chosen of God, and it is for their sake. This verse puts us in memory of a passage of Scripture that we have in the book of Habakkuk. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. That's right after Nahum. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. Where we read, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Why? Because it's a speech of judgment. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In your wrath, O Lord, remember mercy. Remember mercy. That's what we have here in this verse 22 of our text and in Mark chapter 13 and verse 20. We have the Lord remembering mercy. Yes? Even in the midst of His wrath, God is merciful. It is said He remembers mercy. This will be a time of unequaled suffering, but He will preserve His people. He will preserve, as our text says, and as Mark says, He will preserve the elect, His chosen people, those whom He loved and those whom He chose unto salvation. He will remember them. And as our text says, the day shall be shortened for their sake. This is a time, if permitted to go on, would destroy all flesh. Did you catch that? If this period of time, if this time of great tribulation is allowed to go on, Jesus doesn't come back, put an end to it, it'll destroy all flesh. I mean, we've already read where upwards close to two-thirds of humans have been killed. Made desolate. Already. The verse says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. In other words, it is the shortening of the days that preserves some flesh upon the earth. Look with me at Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And look with me here at verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. What? That's all flesh, the fourth of all flesh. Not just human flesh, but beast of the earth as well. Look at chapter 9 now. Chapter 9 and verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of man. You see, over in the sixth chapter, a fourth part of all beasts. In the ninth chapter, a third part of man being killed. I remind you again, our text says, no flesh be saved. If the days are not shortened during that period of time, there shall be no flesh saved. This is talking about natural flesh. It's talking about man and beast. All flesh upon the earth would be annihilated if the days aren't shortened. Just maybe that's why one of the judgments is a third of the day is darkened. That's the shortening of the day, is it not? And a third of the night is darkened. Shortening of the day. Correct? But for the sake of his people, because of his people, the elect, the chosen, as Mark put it, the Jewish remnant, and all those of the Gentiles that are saved from the preaching of the gospel kingdom at that time. We've noted that there will be some of them. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 65. Isaiah 65, and look with me here at verses 8 and 9. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell therein. Isaiah wrote about this period of time, and during this period of time, the elect are not going to be destroyed. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. And look with me here at verse 11, where we read, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee," all the nations where Israel had been scattered, until she's brought back to the land, "yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." There is a remnant of Israel. He's not going to destroy. He is going to save. They are his elect. They are his chosen. They are his servants to minister the preaching of the kingdom, gospel kingdom, to the world during the tribulation period. He will not destroy them. The book of Amos. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9 and verse 8. "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord." He's not utterly going to destroy the Jew, the Israelite. There is a remnant, as we're told of, and we know very well and familiar with in the book of Romans, the book of Romans in chapter 11. Romans 11 and verse 5. "Even so then, at this present time," at the time of the writing of this book, the apostle says, "at this present time also, there is a remnant." They'd already been written off. The apostle Paul had already gone to the Gentiles with the gospel of grace. And he says, even now, at this present time, even though they have rejected him, and they've not received him, but to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Those are the ones that Paul was preaching to. But concerning the Jew, he's saying, there is a remnant at this present time. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 7. "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." So there is an elect of Israel, and they shall not be destroyed.